This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast. Broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may live upon the earth. And certainly this program is important for all people, because this program is about the right of every heritage, every nation, every people to preserve their own heritage, to preserve their own society, their own culture, their own unique identity, and the right of every people to control their own destiny and not be controlled by any other nation. This program is opposed to the concept of globalism. It is in favor of the idea of every people, every race, every heritage, every culture having the right to pursue their values unfettered and uncontrolled. And we certainly believe this to be true and proper for people of European descent as well. If we have massive immigration into the United States of America and into Europe and our other homelands around the world, then we literally lose our destiny. We lose our heritage. We lose our unique identity. That's simply a fact of life. And that's true not just for Europeans, but for any other people as well. There are 1.3 billion Chinese, and they're all Chinese, and they have a nation oriented to their people's heritage and values and interests, which is fine and well and right. There are many Japanese, and they have a nation almost entirely Japanese, and it's dedicated to their own people. There are many Muslim nations in the Mideast and elsewhere around the world, and they have the right to maintain their own particular religious and cultural and ethnic heritages among their own people in their own societies. And America should not be going over to Iraq or to any other country around the world and trying to remake those nations in the image of the United States or the structure of the United States. Of course, the way America is working right now in terms of our globalism, we're not making these countries in the image of the United States. We're making these countries according to the agenda of international Zionism. In fact, our forays into Iraq and what we're doing against Iran right now, what we've done throughout the Middle East and around the world, has been on behalf of the nation or the agenda of Israel. It was never in the interest of the United States of America from any standpoint to invade Iraq. We didn't get one additional drop of oil from Iraq. And if anything, invading this country in this oil area of the world and with the tremendous turmoil this was bound to unleash, this was certainly destined to drive up the price of oil, things, of course, which I and others predicted before the war. Economically, this war has been a disaster, both for the United States and Europe. It's cost America at least, both Afghanistan now and Iraq have cost over $600 billion. And that's not counting the incredible cost that's going to be endured for the proper treatment and well-being and the medical assistance necessary for the tens of thousands of American young men and even women today who've been wounded and sometimes emasculated, blinded, crippled, disfigured, and who've suffered from this war. The Pentagon itself is saying that at least a quarter to one-third of our service men and women who are serving these theaters of war are coming back with severe psychological problems that are going to require professional help. The cost of this war has already been projected into the trillions of dollars. We know now that there were never any weapons of mass destruction, that this war from the beginning was a war that was created through the lies of the neocon. They couldn't tell us that we were going to fight a war for Israel, that we would fight and die and bleed this country dry, both economically and with the blood of our young men and women for the nation of Israel. So they had to tell us that Saddam Hussein posed a real threat to the United States, a great threat, that he had weapons of mass destruction, even though from the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, that was an obvious lie. That was the justification, the media and the government, controlled by the neocons and the Jewish extremists, that was the justification they used for this war. Now, there are some people who talk about the neocons as a number of conservatives in our government. Well, these men are not conservatives. Their origins, in fact, are of the Trotskyite vein. That's right, Leo Strauss and the others who founded the neoconservative movement. Most of the leaders of the neoconservatives themselves, the older leaders, were in fact communists in their younger days. They just found out that communism didn't flow very well with the American consciousness or the American political process, so they became, quote, conservatives, though later they became labeled neo-conservatives. Well, they're not any kind of conservative. They're against every basic traditional conservative value. And interestingly enough, to show you how they're not conservatives, the press of the United States of America was certainly, both media, broadcasting, and the print media, and the newspaper media, magazines and publishing media in the United States was absolutely cheerleading this war from the beginning. The New York Times even admits that. All three and even four weekly news magazines cheerleaded this war. A lot of people don't realize this, and it's one of those things that's not talked about, obviously, in the same media. But the media in the United States of America is overwhelmingly in the hands of Jewish extremists, people who are dedicated to the issues and the ideas of the Jewish community. There's no community more organized than the Jewish community in the United States of America. In fact, they have a group of the Conference of Presidents of major Jewish organizations representing 52 major groups like the American Jewish Committee and so many other Jewish organizations in the United States. And among them are groups like Friends of the Likud, radical organizations that stand together and work together for what they see as the agenda of the Jewish community and the agenda of Israel. And this power, obviously, is able not only to control so many of the Jewish owners and directors and producers and writers and editors and owners of media across the world, but they're also able to influence us through them. A Gentile writer learns very quickly what he can write and what he can't write if he wants to further his career. He's going to find out very quickly what kind of book will be published and promoted by the media, what kind of book will be covered on the Today Show, what kind of book will be reviewed in the New York Times review of books, which is almost, again, it's like a bar mitzvah in terms of its Jewish background and Jewish control. And by the way, the New York Times review of books that comes out every week in the Sunday New York Times is one of the chief means by which libraries and bookstores choose which books to feature and promote around the United States of America. So it really is important that the New York Times chooses to even review your book. And the kind of review that your book receives has a big impact on whether people will even read your book. So this influence is pervasive. It truly exists, and Jewish power really exists in the United States of America. And it has led us into this terrible conflict in Iraq, and it's leading us and trying to lead us into a much bigger conflict in Iran. And ladies and gentlemen, if we go to war against Iran, it certainly may well be the death knell of the United States. In fact, the Iraq war has already been spoken about by many individuals as one of the pivotal issues of the United States of America. It's one of the pivotal, probably the greatest strategic disaster in the history of the United States of America. I've been getting a lot of comment. I issued an article on davidduke.com about Walton Mearsheimer and concerning the little cut against me about how that they find it abhorrent that David Duke is using their scholarship to advance their agenda. Well, of course, I've been talking about the major issues of the Jewish lobby, the Jewish power in America that has controlled our foreign policy in a way that's damaged the United States and our support of Israel. And many of you have heard me in this program many, many times over the years talk about the fact that the Israeli control of our foreign policy, the support of the criminal actions of the state of Israel, was perhaps the greatest single factor in causing the 9/11 attacks, the greatest single factor. And I've also said, of course, that the Jewish power in the country was the driving force behind the war in Iraq, a war not for America, but for Israel. And I know I've been called an extremist, and I've been called a supremacist. I've been called every name in the book, as you know. And that's the way it works in the United States of America if you challenge some of these Jewish extremists in the press. I am not an anti-Semite. I am not a racist. I don't hate other races, though I love and want to preserve my own like all people. I am not a supremacist. I don't want to control other people or be supreme over others. I just want to preserve my own. I'm a man who's endured those kinds of attacks simply because I've stood up for years and told the same truths that Walt and Mearsheimer are now finally beginning to express. When you expose Jewish racism, they call you a racist. When you expose Jewish supremacism, they call you a supremacist. When you attack Jewish extremism, they call you an extremist. And when you attack elements of hateful Jewish anti-Gentilism, they call you an anti-Semite. When you simply quote the supremacist words of Jewish leaders, they call you an anti-Semite. But they never condemn the words that you expose of those leaders. Are the elements of Jewish extremism in the same way that, of course, the media has tried to focus on the dangers of Islamic extremism? Well, Islamic extremists have no real power in the press of the United States of America, obviously. They have no real power in the State Department of the United States. Islamic extremists don't do teach-ins in the White House. And yet you have groups like Chabad Lubavitch actually having teach-ins with Mr. Josh Bolton, who's actually the head of White House policy right now. And Chabad Lubavitch is an organization that teaches that Gentiles have inferior souls, that Gentiles are essentially animals, and that Jews are the only true human beings on the earth. And Chabad Lubavitch has a bunch of other very, very hateful things to say about us. And yet these are men leading the prayers sometimes in the cabinet meeting and having teach-ins. They got so many of these radical Jews in the White House, they have teach-ins in the White House. And nobody says a word about this. Go to my site and check out some of this material. I've had a lot of feedback from my recent articles on Walt and Mearsheimer. And I respect the fact that they're coming out, but I certainly don't respect the fact that they've been attacking me. I think that's unfair. And it's, as I said in my article yesterday, it's like a guy stopped for speeding saying, no, that guy was speeding faster than I. To prove to you and show you exactly how they are using the exact words and arguments that I've been using for so long, there's an excellent article in the New York Sun, which was actually issued just a few days ago, September 29. The name of the article is Israeli Lobby Caused the War in Iraq, September 11 Attacks, Professor Says. Now, let me quote a few lines of this article, and you tell me if these lines sound familiar, those of you who've been listening to David Duke for a long time. And if you haven't been hearing my show a long time, go to the archives and read my previous articles. Here's some quotes from the article. The Israel lobby was one of the principal driving forces behind the Iraq war, and in its absence, we probably would have not had a war, said the University of Chicago professor John Mearsheimer at a forum organized by the London Review of Books. Later, in response to a question from the audience, Mr. Mearsheimer claimed that the, quote, animus to the United States of Qaeda terrorist mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed stemmed from U.S. foreign policy toward Israel. This, Mr. Mearsheimer asserted, simply can't be discussed in the mainstream media. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, how many times have I said exactly the same thing years before Walt and Mearsheimer? By the way, I want to show you how the media works and how the biasness of this media works. This is a normal news story. This was written by Ira Stoll, I think very likely to be a Jewish reporter, staff reporter for The Sun, September 29. And this is supposed to be basically a news story of the meeting that was held in which Dr. Mearsheimer gave this speech and made these comments. Now, listen to this very carefully, and I'm going to give you a refutation of this immediately to show you how they brainwash the American people every day. Okay, let me quote that paragraph that I started to quote from a moment ago. This, Mr. Mearsheimer asserted, simply can't be discussed in the mainstream media. And then the reporter goes on to editorialize. This is not a news story, obviously. I mean, how many times do you hear a statement, people giving statements of a speaker, and then the reporter, the person writing about the meeting, goes on to try to refute the statement. Quote, and here it goes on, he appeared to have forgotten the article that ran on September 20, 2001, on the op-ed page of the largest circulation American newspaper, the Wall Street Journal, that began with the sentence, is American support of Israel behind the hatred of this country that pervades the Arab world and that literally exploded into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11. In fact, Mr. Mearsheimer claimed there is considerable amount of evidence that there's a linkage between the two being American support for Israel and the terrorist attacks of September 11. Now notice that editorializing in a news story. He appeared to have forgotten the article that ran on September 20th, 2001 on the op-ed page of the largest circulation American newspaper. Okay, what's the fact of the matter? Well, you know what I did. Immediately, I went to the Internet and I looked up the paper. I looked up the article. And this is the exact quote of that article from the Wall Street Journal, September 20th, 2001, of course, just a few days after the attack on the World Trade Center. The article is entitled, Israel Isn't the Issue, and it's by Norman Poteritz. Norman Poteritz is one of those radical Jewish extremists in the United States of America. Now, this is the first paragraph of that article. Is American support of Israel behind the hatred of this country that pervades the Arab world and that literally exploded into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11? Certainly, this is what many in Europe believe, though thus far in the United States, only a few anti-Israel intransigents like the columnist Robert Novak have voiced any such sentiment in public. Now, some have found it very surprising that Israel is not yet being widely scapegoated. So the article basically is basically saying that, oh, no, that opposition to American support for Israel had nothing to do with the attacks in the World Trade Center. It wasn't and is not a discussion of the issues, and it's certainly not offering any other viewpoint other than this radical Jewish supremacist viewpoint. It's not a discussion of the issue. It's a dismissal of the idea that American policy in the Middle East behind Israel was the source of a lot of the motivation for the hijackers and the attackers in 9/11. So there you go. So there wasn't a discussion of this issue. There was a dismissal of discussion. And even the article itself admits that no journalist even dares to talk about it, even though even the underlying research of the committee that investigated 9/11 found that this was a very powerful animus of the attacks. And you can look at quotes from Osama bin Laden. You can look at quotes from the Sheikh, who was one of the hijacked leaders. There's no question that Israel and the policy of the United States in the Mideast in support of the criminal actions of Israel was one of the primary motivations of that attack. Another interesting point that I want to bring up for a moment is the incredible continuation of suppression of freedom of speech that's going on by these Jewish radicals. In an article in the Washington Post called "In New York, Sparks Fly Over Israel Criticism," it says, "Polish consulate says Jewish groups called to oppose historian." And here's a quote, "Two major American Jewish organizations helped block a prominent New York University historian from speaking at the Polish consulate here last week, saying the academic was too critical of Israel and American Jewry. The historian, Tony Jute, is Jewish and directs New York University's Remark Institute, which promotes the study of Europe. Jute was scheduled to talk October 4 to a nonprofit organization that rents space from the consulate. Jute's subject was the Israeli lobby of the United States, and he planned to argue that this lobby has often stifled honest debate." That's right out of the Washington Post. Well, obviously, this Jewish professor is absolutely right, isn't he? The lobby does stifle honest debate. In fact, they stifled his speech. Who says that life doesn't imitate art, or at least imitate the creative forces of some writers and speakers like Professor Jute? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've enjoyed being with you today, and I hope all of you realize, and it's hard enough for me to put up with the attacks and the slanders of the Jewish media almost every day in my life. I certainly don't like to be attacked by people who share my same views as I think Walt and Mearsheimer do. And for them to criticize me when I've predated them, when I acted long before they did in standing up on these issues, and I've put up with so much for so long on this issue, is extremely disgusting and unsettling for me. And I felt like I just, had to speak out. I have spoken out while they sat in their ivory towers and enjoyed their economic and societal praise, not daring to say a word about some of the crimes of Israel, even against the United States, and still they don't speak out about the fact that Israel has committed terrorism against the United States of America. Yet that is an unarguable, undeniable fact. But the fact that this isn't even discussed, and people don't even know the fact that Israel's committed terrorism against us on multiple occasions, and the fact that the largest Jewish lobby in the United States of America, the AIPAC, where you have leaders of this organization right now being charged with espionage, why is this not a front page article, especially when one considers that they give tens of millions of dollars to politicians, and they spend millions of dollars to defeat politicians they don't like, and yet their own leaders are facing espionage? But this isn't a big scandal in the United States of America. Why isn't it? Who controls the American press? Read my book, Jewish Supremacism. Read My Awakening. Read other articles on this website. Educate yourself and motivate yourself. Finally, a lot of people often ask me, well, what are we going to do about it? I agree with you and everything, but what is the answer? Well, let me tell you something. I'm not saying that I know the answers. I think one of the answers is politics. I mean, I got elected to office. I think that does a lot. I think if there were many David Dukes running for office and winning office around the country as I did, they couldn't maybe have concentrated all their wealth and power and focus on defeating me. And I came very close to the portals of the United States Senate. So I think one answer is that our people have to run for office. And you start off not by running for congressman or senator. You start off running on the lower level, like House of Representatives in a particular state, or our city council, or that kind of level. And then you build up your political career and you stand up. And I think our issues are powerful and supportive. I think the American people believe in what we're doing. And then you work your ass off. You really work hard to build the organization and to knock door to door and to really understand the issues and become well spoken on the issues. That's one answer. Another answer is what I'm doing right now. Half of the battle is just changing the consensus in the United States of America around the world. And by the way, I tell my friends this all the time. My friends who exist all over the world, all over Europe and in Russia and Eastern Europe, as well as in the Middle East and elsewhere around all Asia. I've got many friends who respect my work against Zionism and understand the threat of globalism which they represent. We're not going to have great progress on these matters until there's a change in the United States of America. We need to educate the American people and educate people around the world. And there's always a blowback. There's a flowback of information. And the more people understand this problem, both in the United States and around the world, the more people will understand it in the United States and elsewhere, because information flows back and forth now across borders. So what we have to do is change the consensus. We've got to get the whole world understanding the nature of Jewish supremacism. We've got to get the whole world understanding the idea that every nation's got a right to preserve its ethnic and cultural identity. And you know, most people in the world endorse that principle, but somehow this is so twisted by those people who control our media, it's portrayed like something evil for Europeans to do that, and something positive and good for non-Europeans to do it. And the way that we present ourselves to the world is so important in this cause, in this movement. You know, I am not a racially aware people, a person, in the same way that those in Israel are. I'm not preaching supremacy. You know, the Israelis are trying not only to control their own press, they're trying to control the press of the United States of America. They're trying to control the press of England. They're trying to control what speaker is able to speak at the Polish consulate. Even if he's a Jew, they're trying to suppress him if he says things that they don't like. You know, they're trying not just to control Israel, they're trying to destroy, and they have destroyed, and they've killed hundreds of thousands of people by the latest estimates with the war in Iraq. And tens of thousands of Americans have had their lives ruined and their families ruined by the tragedy of the wounded and the killed in Iraq. They are trying to dictate the policies around the world, and they're trying to take over other people's lands. It's bad enough they took over so much of Palestine when they founded Israel in 1948, and they drove these people out and ethnically cleansed it. And they're compounding it by now going into the West Bank and stealing people's land, and going into Lebanon and killing thousands of civilians. And latest, even a few days before they left Lebanon, but when they knew that a peace treaty and a cessation of violence was very close, they then dropped millions of cluster bombs all over the country. Cluster bombs would have little explosive bomblets everywhere. And every day we have at least a few victims, mainly children, who play with these things, who get blown up and lose their arms or legs or their eyesight or their ability to walk or their life by these cluster bombs, which you really can't get rid of because there's millions of them. It's not like cleaning up a few mine fields or a few thousand bombs. We're talking about millions and millions of explosive bomblets that can take off an arm or a leg or blind someone or make someone deaf for the rest of their life or disfigure someone terribly. This is the reality of this criminal state of Israel. And, you know, it's just amazing to me that we don't have more courage in the West. But part of the reason is these people have so much power in our media and our government, and decent individuals have to stand up to it. And no matter how much they call me an anti-Semite or a hater or a bigot or a racist or supremacist, I know what I am, and I'm not any of those things. I'm a person that wants justice for my own people, but I also want justice for all people. And I also believe that Jews have a right to live and a right to have their society the way they want, but so do the Palestinians. But they don't have a right to control ours, and they don't have a right to subvert the values of our own country. Hollywood is like occupied territory of the United States, and it just doesn't teach our children the values that I want for my children, and I don't think you want those values for your children. They are turning America into something that's alien to the complete values of our forefathers in the United States, and they're doing this in Europe and elsewhere around the world, and we have to stand up if we are decent, God-fearing, and honorable men. I'm not a perfect man, but I'm trying to live an honorable life. and I'm trying to do the right thing. And it's cost me a lot to stand up and tell the truth in these issues. And I don't need people like Walton Mearsheimer, who were quiet for so many years, as I'm sure that they understood these problems. I don't need them to join the chorus of the Dershowitzes and the other people against me. Thanks so much for being with me. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. And please remember that your support, your heartfelt and generous support, makes possible my work and my travel. In fact, I've got a huge speaking schedule ahead of me over the next few weeks and months. I'm going to be giving literally dozens and dozens of speeches and lectures all over the world. And most of these lectures and speeches I receive no compensation at all for doing. Your support enables me to do this work. And I've also got to get my books published again. It's going to take a huge amount of expenditure to come up with the capital to do that, because my books, half of my books, I think I send out for free to opinion leaders and congressmen and senators and other people who need to learn the truth. But I need your support in order to get these books out and to get this work out. So I need your help. I'm not ashamed to ask for it. And I'm not ashamed to ask every one of you to do your part in this cause. When we change, you want the answer to this problem. The first task you have is to educate your friends, your family, your neighbors, your community, your nation, your world. And when we change the consensus, which we can do with the internet, and we can do with videos and audios and this radio internet broadcast, we can do it. And if we do that and we wake up, and if in the morning the world knows the truth about what's happening both in the Middle East and around the world, if we know the truth, a change will come upon us that will shake the world. Thanks so much. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.davidduke.com.